Thank you much, Pastor Caleb. Appreciate that song this morning. You are God. Aren't you thankful? I invite you this morning to turn to the book of Romans. Romans in chapter 4. I'm going to begin our reading with verse number 17. We'll read down through chapter 5 and verse 2. I read these verses to give a background to what I want to look at this morning. I'm going to zero in on verse 25. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Father, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, again, we are so thankful that we are able to have a personal relationship with Thee, that we can say You are our God, You are our Shepherd, You are our Savior. And I pray, Lord, that that might be true of every individual in our service this morning. And if it is not, that today might be the day that You would become their Savior, their Shepherd, their God. I ask, God, that You would protect my lips, that I not speak anything amiss, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. 2 or 3 weeks ago, as I was returning home after being down here and meeting with several other individuals, and we went out calling in the neighborhood, we went out to visit and invite people to the church. As I was on my way home, I was about a mile and a half from home, when I saw a car parked along the side of the road. The flashers were blinking. And I went by real slow and didn't see anybody around the car at all. But I went around the corner and there was a gentleman hitchhiking. Now, I did something that I don't recommend you do. I did something that I normally don't do. I stopped and picked him up. And he said that he hadn't. His car had run out of gas. And so I took him down the road about a mile to the Quick Trip, dropped him off there, and I told him I'll be back. I'm going to go home and get my gas can, and I'll come back. So I went home, got my gas can, and filled it with gas, and went back and picked him up there at the Quick Trip. On our way from his car to the Quick Trip, just some small talk and find out a little bit about who he was. He was living in Chicago with his girlfriend, and he was on his way to Madison to find an apartment for them and so forth. But I handed him a bridge track. And he said, well, I'll read this. So I dropped him off at the Quick Trip. I didn't want him to know where I lived just in case there was ulterior motives in his mind at all. And I went home and got the gas can, went back, picked him up. And as we were driving back to his car, I asked him, I said, have you given any thought to where you're going to spend eternity? He says, well, I hope so. And I said, what are you basing that hope on? And he gave me several answers. He said, well, I never try to sin a sin more than once. And I wish I could say that. And he said, I try to be helpful to people. You know, just the normal things. And so I shared some verses with him and how he could know, sure. But I got to thinking about that later that week. And I thought, what if somebody asked me, when I told them I hope to be in heaven, how would I answer? What am I basing my hope on? Now, I imagine almost everyone here this morning would say, we hope to be in heaven. And that hope that you are thinking about is not an uncertainty, but it's an assurance. I'm assured I'm going to be in heaven. But again, let me ask you the question. What are you basing that assurance on? If someone came and asked you, you said, well, I hope to be in heaven. And they said, well, what are you basing it on? And so this morning, I'm not going to give you anything deep and theological. And we leave that up to Dr. Potter. I just want to give a very basic, a very simple answer to that question. What am I basing my hope on? First of all, let me read again verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I see in this verse, first of all, hopes or assurances, person. Notice the first word in that verse, who. The word who there is referring back to the previous verses. You know, if you would go back up to verse 27 where we started our reading this morning, and we find that Paul here refers back to the book of Genesis in Genesis chapter 15. God had promised Abraham, even in his old age, that he and Sarah would have a son. And then in the next couple of verses, we find some good lessons. And we could have spent that whole morning on those following verses, great lessons on the matter of faith. Faith that is needed that we might claim the salvation that has been provided for us. In verses 21 and verse 22. In verses 23 and verses 24, notice what Paul shares not only for Abraham, it's not only for the recipients of the letter to Rome, it is for you and I as well this morning. We too can have the righteousness of God imputed to us if we believe. In Romans chapter 10 and verses 8 and 9, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. As we strive to see the basis of our hope, the basis of our assurance, Paul starts out that verse and says, who? Who is the person of our hope? Who is the person of our assurance? And again, it refers back to the last phrase in verse number 24. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ is the person of our hope. Christ is the object of our hope. In Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the very central figure of God's redemptive plan. Amen. Without him, there is no redemption. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. He is the person of our hope. Christ is the fulfillment of God's saving plan for mankind. Christ is in us, and we in Christ. If that's true in our life, we can look forward to sharing his glory. If you'd go on over to chapter 5 and verse 2, he says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now I'm going to give you a shocking statement. We live in a wicked, lost world. Now I'm sure that didn't shock anybody. We do live in a wicked world. We live in a world that gives us absolutely no hope. Watch the news. Read the news. And see how much hope you come up with. Now, there's not a lot of hope here. But Christ is revealed as the source, the person of a better world. Oh, this world is not good. But if you know Christ as your Savior, you're looking forward to a better world. Of a genuine, living hope that is not confined, but is available to all who will believe. And so, as we think of that thought, what am I basing my hope on? What am I basing my assurance upon? Well, first of all, I think of the person of our hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, I see hope's provision. Notice verse 25 again. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. The who introduces us to the person of our hope. Paul, in the next phrase, introduces us to the action that enables us to have that hope, the provision for that hope. As unbelievers, we are without hope. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, of course, speaking primarily of Gentiles, but it is true of each and every one of us in our lives at the beginning, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know, before we come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we had no hope. We had no assurance of a better world. We had no guarantee that one day things are going to be much better than they are today. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Think back again to Abraham and Sarah. As God came to them and made that promise, he was 99, 100 years old. Sarah, his wife, was 89, 90. I haven't quite reached that age yet, but I couldn't think of having a child. It's bad enough to take care of our son's dog, let alone. But, you know, as far as childbearing is concerned, they were dead. They were without hope. But God brought life out of death. He performed a miracle and gave life. You know, when one puts their faith, their trust in the person and finished work of Christ, the work that he accomplished on the cross of Calvary, God performs a miracle. And he brings spiritual life out of spiritual death. It's a miracle that he and he alone can perform. You ever thought of that? The miracle of salvation. The life that is given to us out of death. We mentioned Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, but notice the next verse and the contrast that Paul gives us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. But let me read verse 12 again. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Paul, speaking again directly concerning the Gentiles, but gives a truth that is applicable to each one of us in our lives today. We are drawn near. We are given a hope through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was delivered for our sins. He was delivered because of our sins. You know, it has been commented that Christianity is a bloody religion. And in a sense, I guess that is true. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus was delivered to be crucified. In Acts, in chapter 2, in verse 23, him, that is Christ, being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Crucifixion could lead to death without any blood being shed. But Christ's crucifixion included the shedding of blood that we, through putting our faith and trust in him and his shed blood, have hope. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Christ paid the only acceptable price that God would accept. He paid the price for our redemption. He bought us back to give us hope of eternal life. In Romans, in chapter 3, verses 23 down through verse 25, for all, not few, but all, and every one of us here this morning are included in that all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Christ is the person of our hope. And he has made provision, giving the basis for our hope. As Harold H. Hoffner put it, sin separates people from God, and only Christ's atonement can remove that sin barrier. Aren't you thankful this morning that he has removed that sin barrier? And so we see hope's person, the Lord Jesus. We see hope's provision. He was delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification. And I want us to see hope's proof. Was raised again for our justification. Hope's proof. You know, if Christ was still in the grave, we would be like all other religions. No hope. But praise God this morning, we serve a living Savior. Amen. He overcame the grave. He overcame death. And like Christ himself said while speaking to his disciples, giving them words of comfort, giving them words of encouragement, encouragement that can be applied to our lives as well this morning. In John chapter 14 and verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. What a tremendous thing that is. Because we serve a living Savior, we have a hope beyond this life. The physical death does not end it for us. But we go on to a better world. We go on to a greater joy. Christ's resurrection is a proof that God the Father accepted his sacrifice as a full payment for our sins, for the sins of all of mankind. This, dear friend, gives us hope. It gives us assurance of the gift of eternal life. Then in Christ's promise of his second coming, the hope of glory is fulfilled. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear in glory. But as we have looked at this very basic assurance this morning, of the person of our assurance, the provision of our assurance, the proof of our assurance, there is a key element in all of this given to us by Paul in verse 24. For for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. If we believe. If we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you can know all about what Christ did. You can know about his teachings. You can know about his ministry here on the earth. You can know about the details of his crucifixion and his burial and his resurrection again. But until you have personally acknowledged your own sins and have come to him, confessing those sins to him and trusting him for eternal life, you're still dead in trespasses and sins. We are saved through grace and grace alone. Nothing we can do, nothing we can earn, but simply by God's grace giving us that gift of salvation. Alan F. Johnson put it this way: faith trusts in the God of forgiving grace, who is revealed fully in the death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. Let me read that again. Faith trusts in the God of forgiving grace, who is revealed fully in the death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. Notice then, Paul goes on in the fifth chapter. In verses 1 and 2, he begins that first verse with the word therefore, looking back to what he describes and teaches us and tells us in verses 17 down through verse 25, particularly verse number 25. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hope in this verse is used, is objective, gives a thought of eternal life. Dear friend, when you put your trust in Christ and Christ alone, you have a basis for your hope. A hope through the person, through the provision, and through the hope, and through the proof of that hope. If someone came to you today and asked you where you wanted to spend eternity, and you would say, "Why, hope in heaven." And they followed up with that question, "What are you basing your hope on? What are you basing your hope on?" Again, I just a simple, basic thought this morning. It was a challenge to me after I'd talk to this young man and ask him the question, what are you basing your hope on? And I thought, what am I basing my hope on? And the Bible tells me it's what I can base my hope on. It's not on anything I've done, not anything I deserve. But I have a hope and assurance through the provision, through the person, and the proof of that hope. Let's pray. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, how truly thankful I am this morning that we have biblical reason biblical basis for the hope that we claim to have. And I pray, dear Father, this morning that if there's one here in this service today, or one who might be watching on the live feed, who has not that hope, who do not have a genuine biblical basis for their hope, that they would search their own hearts. Am I truly saved? Am I truly on my way to heaven? Do I have a no-so, not a hope-so, salvation? With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Yes, this message this morning was basically prepared thinking of maybe the unsaved. But I trust this morning that as we have shared these few words with you, as believers, it has encouraged your heart. It's given you a new basis, not necessarily a new basis, but a new reality of your hope. But I wonder if there might possibly be one here this morning that slip up the hand and put it back down, and by that gesture you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you pray along with me? You know, I really do not have a genuine basis for the hope that I claim to have. I'm not sure if I leave this life today, I'd be able to go into the presence of the Lord, but I'm concerned enough about it. I'd just like you to pray for me. I know your prayer is not going to save me, but I'd like you to pray that the Lord would just work in my life, through my life, that I could come to that place where I'd have that genuine hope, that basis, biblical basis of my hope. Anyone at all, just slip up the hand and put it back down. By that gesture, you're just simply saying, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not one of spirit. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, again, we thank you that we can have a no-so salvation. We can have the assurance that one day, when this life is over, whether it come by death or your return, we will be in your presence. It's that which is based upon the person, the provision, and the proof of that hope. I pray again, Lord, if there happens to be one in hearing of my voice this morning that has not that assurance, that today they might gain that assurance. For it's in Christ's name we pray.